Dawn Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the free Odyssey app.
Trump and tariff news, how many jobs were added to the U.S. economy, some economic news. We have storms that really ravaged our area with a lot of flash flooding as we look to the sun coming out and a beautiful weekend ahead, but still some residue left over airport delays. So if you're heading out, if you're flying out, you just want to check on the domino effect because we had a lot of canceled flights, some 100 delayed or canceled flights last night and this morning due to all those flash floods and the storms. Hope you're doing okay. And then, you know, the Governor Josh Shapiro, as well as many advocates for recreational marijuana, are really shaking their head today because adults in Delaware, one of our other neighbors, can now buy recreational marijuana. So that also is making headlines. Hey, Dawn Stensland here, 855-839-1210. If you want to join in, we're on YouTube as well, Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. But starting today, woohoo, buy recreational marijuana. I'm not like a marijuana gummy or whatever person, but if that's your thing, you can now buy recreational marijuana in Delaware, not medical, recreational. And so this is something that in Pennsylvania, as these budget deadlines loom and really impact, for example, many services here in Pennsylvania that they're threatening are going to be shut down, whether it's public transit, whether they're school services, human resources type services. But in Pennsylvania, they've wanted this, especially Governor Josh Shapiro, to try to balance out the budget and pay for things. And now Delaware gets it. So Delaware, New Jersey, basically all of our neighbors except us. I'm not sure that I'm for it, but I think the attitude is, well, if you can't beat them, join them. I think a lot of people want this. I still think what could possibly go wrong, as you know, when you're driving and somebody just seems a little buzzed, I just have to wonder if it's a gummy. Might not be booze, might be the gummy that they're on, or whether it's recreational or whether it's medicinal. So we allow the medicinal, obviously, as you know, here in Pennsylvania, but literally all of our neighbors allow recreational, medicinal, they do it all. And you're talking big bucks that they're raking in the dough. And in fact, that was one of the statements from Governor Matt Meyer, saying Delaware has taken a major step forward by launching a legal adult use cannabis market that this is what the first thing is. You know what it prioritizes? What do you think it is? What do you think the number one thing that Delaware's governor says? Equity. It's all about equity. What a BS answer. Equity, safety, and accountability. This new industry will generate critical revenue to strengthen schools, infrastructure, and public health systems while creating real opportunities for entrepreneurs. And it also, and the revenue of, you know, legal weed allows them to invest in communities most impacted by the war on drugs. How ironic, addressing past wrongs and ensuring that the benefits of this new market reach every corner of our state. So they're very proud and they want you to imbibe, or rather toke. Yep, Delaware, just soak it in. Legal, you know, it's, if you listen to people who talk about drug use and the so-called gateway drugs and all of that, and now they're saying, nope, nothing to see here, it wasn't a gateway. I just think they want everybody medicated every which way. So whether it's medical marijuana, they want you to use recreational marijuana. This is what they're basically, the government is now a bunch of drug pushers. And I just think it's the wrong way to think about things. That's just my take on this. But man, what a reversal. You think about the 80s, the 90s, the war on drugs. Nope. It's in fact, it's not the war on drugs. It's the welcoming in of drugs. And now this is the government that's the drug dealer. And I'll just say to you, then, why is it that right there on the, I think of my kitchen, you know, my front little window ledge, and I have the basil, right? You have a little bit of thyme, little parsley. Like, I have them in cute little jars that the kids painted, you know, when they were like in, you know, first and second grade and even kindergarten, having those cute little pots. Why is it then that you're not just allowed to have a little plant like you do the basil, in your little kitchen window? And why not have that as an organic little plant? How come they don't allow that? If it's not bad, why not? And you could just, you know, sprinkle it in, I don't know, your pasta or your muffins or whatever you're making. Just beep, sprinkle a little of that stuff. How come they won't allow that? Because it's not really about anything else other than the desperation for them to balance their budgets. It's about the money and raking in the money. That's what that is. So they lost the war on drugs as far as with the drug dealers, and they just want a piece of that pie. They want a piece of that pie, I should say. 855-839-1210. All right. As we talk about, I want to just go back for a moment as we think about the reaction today to this Durham declassified report. And I want to round this out and I want to get your take and your thoughts on this. So I want you to think about what's happening, that yesterday, last night, they decide that they want to release this information, and Senator Grassley is the one who releases it and declassified it. And so there was some coverage on, and this is a Fox News interview, by the way, because, of course, Fox covered it. And like I say, to their credit, the New York Times, everybody's reporting on it, but they're poo-pooing it. And they're essentially saying right off the top, nothing to see here. And so I have a problem with that, because why don't they just let you decide? Why don't they just let you see the information, you decide? But they don't want you to do that. So let's listen in now. And this is, we're going to take this in as it's, are we going to go to, let's go to, first, this is Senator Grassley as he's explaining the report and why he personally, why he wanted this to, and feels it's important that you and I and all of us, America, that we should be able to see this. He starts out by thanking certain individuals. So let's start there if we can.
Attention to the burn bag to me for the first time, and I'll leave that up to the FBI to describe, but I think it's evidence of the great depth that the deep state will go to cover up weaponization that was going on in the FBI and the executive branch of government generally under the Obama administration. And I want to thank Kash Patel of the FBI and Pam Bondi, our attorney general, for releasing these documents, because after 8 years, and it took us 3 years to get this information, but after 8 years, I think we need maximum transparency on all the schemes that were going on 10 years ago to either stop Trump from being elected, or after he was elected, to ruin his presidency. And that's what this Durham report is all about. And it gives information that Comey FBI had 8-10 years ago that they never followed up on. And it actually brings attention to the fact that there was either a Clinton conspiracy to make this happen, or a Russian disinformation. But either way, it was an attempt to stop Trump. And it also proves that the FBI had a hand in it. And now, after these 8 years, 3 years of my trying to get the document, we know that there was the Steele dossier paid for by the Democrats and the Clinton campaign, that it was all effort of total distraction and to make it look like Russia was playing a very major role in helping Trump to be elected. And now we know none of that was true. And now with this Durham report annex out, it finally proves that the FBI was covering up.
Wow. Okay, here is what we've got from a source with Fox Digital. Let me go ahead and read this statement. It just came in. Ultimately, the release of the classified annex will lend more credibility to the assertion that there was a coordinated plan inside the U.S. government to help the Clinton campaign stir up controversy connecting Trump to Russia. You essentially just said that, Senator. That's what I heard from your answer. Sir, is there a smoking gun in this?
Well, I think the smoking gun kind of dovetails in with things that Tulsi Gabbard has put out in the recent 2 weeks and things that we had with the Crossfire Hurricane Andex that I released a couple weeks ago. Kind of all dovetails into the same thing, but it gets back to the fact that whether you have a Republican or Democrat administration, that there's cover-up, and it, we shouldn't have it. Transparency, or the public's business ought to be public, and what the FBI does ought to be public as long as their investigations are done, or if they aren't investigating, if they aren't doing their job, then it should be exposed, and this Durham Annex exposes that.
Okay, I want...
And so I'll just take it from there. Let's stop there if we can. And so and just bring down the audio right when it's done, if you could, because I want to get through this quickly. So the release of this report, 29 pages, you can look it up yourself. It's all over the internet as you see so-called mainstream media as they basically say nothing to see here. And so you hear Senator Chuck Grassley, a longtime Republican, doesn't always agree with Trump on things. And in fact, this morning was there was some back and forth where he was talking about Senate confirmations and so on and pushes back. So he's kind of, I'll say a stubborn guy who stands his ground as far as the Iowa Republican, Grassley. I will say that what strikes me about that interview is it was a breaking story. He agrees to come on Fox News. He's talking about this, but he never says, hey, I just wanted transparency and this appears to be this, or this allegedly, you know, looks bad, or we want to look at this. That's not what he's saying. I mean, it's definitive. And he's saying this was a lie and this was perpetrated. And this was, they were basically colluding and working together to bring forth this false narrative and lie to the American people. And that there were individuals at the top levels of our government who knew this and realized it. And so he's not saying this is like a maybe or alleged or purported. That's not what this is. He's saying this is the deal. This is the truth. And that these individuals, you always hear Comey's name right in there too, but, and others, but that these people knew and they went along with the lie and never followed up on what they should have. They never did their job. In fact, they never did their jobs, and that they were just basically saying, nah, nothing to see here, and we'll just cover it all up. So I just want you to think about that and think about what would have happened if this administration had, if Trump hadn't won. We would not be having the conversation because you don't know what you don't know. I think that's ridiculous. And you know what? I'm not somebody who wants to go after people, but on this one, to be lied to by people who we paid. So we paid for these lies. I want my money back. I want a rebate on all these lies with these people. It's the same usual suspects. So yeah, I want them charged. I want transparent public hearings. I want them under oath. I want all these people called up, and I want a trial. I don't want some circus show. I don't want like they did with all of the, remember J6, and it was really not official to me, you know, and they brought in Hollywood or TV producers. I don't want any of that. I want actual people under oath. I want serious people asking serious questions. I don't want theatrics or made up videos with music and put a show. I don't want this for entertainment value. I want it for the value of the truth and have real prosecutors up there asking the questions. That's it. Get them under oath, ask them tough questions and get them all, line them all up. And they need to know that they have to be accountable to the American people. We deserve at least that much after they lied to us for years. It's ridiculous. 855-839-1210. We are fired up and we have a lot to share with you. A 911 call that you got to hear. Be right back. Man, I'm fired up today. I think it's great. I'm going to blame Greg Stocker because he said Melania Trump's book that Sarah Weiss gave to me on her great Italy trip. Sarah, I love you. If you're watching, listening. And I love Melania Trump, as you know. Her first book, by the way, more than 4 million copies, like 4.7 million copies. New York Times, Amazon, whatever, bestseller. The second book, more recent, last fall, it's doing great. And he's like, oh, it only sold, what do you say, 17,000 books? Don't talk about Melania, people. So your thoughts on, as far as this Durham report, do you care? Do you care about it? Maybe I'm more fired up than the rest of you. I'm not sure. 855-839-1210. The New York Times, their headline says the Clinton plan emails were likely made by Russian spies, a declassified report shows. So essentially they're saying that this is all about the Trump team trying to distract you from the Jeffrey Epstein files. You know, to me, I think it's relevant and pretty scary, even if you believe that. Okay, either way you look at this, the fact that Russian spies allegedly made emails that looked like Clinton was planning this, isn't that relevant too? Either way you look at it. But for them to say nothing to see here, for Durham to classify it and not want us to see it, why didn't they want us to see it? So we'll leave it there. 855-839-1210 if you want to comment. All right, let's go to, Andrew Torres, thanks for being here. I still have to get to Jimmy Kelly. I hope Jimmy's listening, because we do want to get to an important Rush Limbaugh commemoration, if you will, Rush in Heaven, because Jimmy had a great point about what today is an anniversary for. But we have Andrews in for Dan Borowski. This 911 call, this is a disturbing story. So I want you to listen to this and understand this is a 911 call. There's a music festival. This is Cincinnati, Ohio. And then you're going to hear J.D. Vance, our vice president, speaking out about this. I know Vivek Ramaswamy, who has been speaking out about this, because Vivek, as you well know, is from Ohio, wants to be their next governor, would be a fantastic governor, in my opinion. But listen to this 911 call after this, and they're calling it a brawl. It's not a brawl. This is a takedown that ends up with a man down on the ground being kicked and trying to fight for himself, and then a lady who is a KO punch, who by all accounts from the video did nothing. And this man, big man, comes up to this woman and just, boom, pounds into her face and knocks her out cold. So this is the 911 call.
Cincinnati 911, what is the address of your emergency?
4th and L, please.
Okay, can you repeat the address?
4th and L.
Okay, and what is your first and last name? And what's a good callback number for you? Can you verify it, please? Tell me exactly what happened. Tell me exactly what happened.
I'm sorry. I didn't hear you.
Tell me exactly what happened.
There's all five. So much people at the place.
There's what's going on?
A few fights shooting there, let's put it this way. Some people just acting crazy. Yeah.
So there's just people fighting outside, is that correct?
Yes, it is. Yes, they are.
Okay. And this is going on now,
is anybody injured?
Yes, it is.
Are you at that location now?
Yes.
Are any weapons involved?
No.
I'm sorry?
No.
Is anybody injured?
How many people are involved?
At this point, everybody's praying out. So I was,
is anybody on the ground bleeding,
by
20, injured?
30 people, but everybody's obviously.
But everybody's what?
Everybody's walking away at this point.
So do you still need police to respond out if everybody's leaving?
Some people are leaving, some people still here, yes.
So how many people are involved?
I think initially by 30. We're down to about 5 or 10. They're still here, yes.
All right.
Is the disturbance physical or verbal?
Physical.
I've had it with the... If you're the 911 operator, rather than ask all these other things, did I miss it, Andrew? Did she ask, are there any injuries?
No.
Did she ask that?
No, not that I hear. And later on in the call, it kind of just repeats itself where she's right. Asking about, she keeps asking, do you need a police presence? Do you want the police to show up? And there's never a clear answer.
That's so weird.
Just doesn't say anything about it.
But the weirdest thing to me of all, I would think the first thing that you're going to ask, Are there any injuries? Are there any people injured?
Right.
Is everybody okay, right?
That's, do you need emergency services?
Right. Did she, I didn't hear her ask that. It's bizarre.
Nope. It's crazy.
It is. All right. So get with it. I mean, even if you report an accident, the first thing they usually ask you is, do you see any injuries? Are there any people who need help? What's that? Will it want to get to a caller? Michelle? All right. 855-839-1210. If you want to call, we have Michelle on the line. Hey, Michelle.
Hi, can you hear me?
Hi, Michelle, yes.
Hi, great. So I think this is the most important story that's ever happened, and the news is, the media is so complicit, which is why they're not reporting on this. But aside from the fact that it was 2.5 years of nothing getting done in Congress and $40 million for the nonsense Mueller report, Trump has alluded to this also. We need to understand who changed the policies with Israel. And obviously, Russia invaded Ukraine under Biden. Mm-hmm. October 7th happened under Biden. There's a lot of dead people and a lot of wars that were started. We need answers to this. There's nothing more important. And as far as the, I said to the screener, I'd be gentle about this, but the texture of my neighborhood, the streets have changed dramatically, and there is this very intimidating and obvious burqa-clad Muslim presence all over the place that, again, has started since October 7th. So we really do need answers to things, because this isn't right. There's a lot of wrong things going on.
Yeah, that's a great point, Michelle. I agree with you. It's just bizarre to me that more people aren't talking about this, and I fear that, like, a lot of these stories, I don't know, because it's not, what, viral on TikTok or something? People aren't talking about it. We deserve the transparency, even if, see, here's the thing. In news, in the bulk of my career as a news reporter, and if you don't know this, the bulk of my adult life, I went to journalism school, independent, registered independent. Nobody knew my politics except in my family, of course. So the fact that I'm very conservative, I am a conservative. I'm, as I used to say to Zioli, who kept saying to me when I started here 10 years ago, I'm coming up on my 10-year anniversary, and Zioli would say, you got to come out of the closet fully. You know what I mean? Because for conservative women, we've had to come out of the closet because they went after us, right? But as an independent journalist, as a news reporter, I always learned, go where the story is. Ask the questions. Just go for the story and go for the truth. And there are not just two sides to every story. There are multiple faceted angles of every story. Go after the truth. The truth will set you free. But in all seriousness, I just think that every indication to me, when looking at this entire, now having, you know, looking back at years of this, is that it was basically, you had all these different people, Republicans too, because we had the swamp monsters, the bureaucrats, the never Trumpers that I've talked a lot about, right? And so they don't want us to know the truth. And they think we can't, like the, you know, Jack Nicholson, you can't handle the truth. They think we can't handle the truth. The New York Times apparently thinks that we can't, in our minds, because we're all idiots, I guess, we can't juggle thoughts about two different or three different or five different stories. No, we can handle it. Let us know the truth. But see, they didn't want to open up. They wanted to shut down this report. They wanted to close it. And I thought democracy died in darkness. Think about all that they put in the dark. Think about all they classified rather than declassified. And like Michelle said, we paid for all of this. We paid all these people. So yeah, I think that I want to start docking pay. I want to start pulling their money and their pension and all of that. I think we need to do that. By the way, Pennsylvania right now, if they can't get together a budget, figure out what it is. $100 a minute, $100 a day, every one of them. You can't figure this out, because for you and me and our jobs, if we're not getting the job done by the deadline, we're in trouble. Half the time, we're fired. So we do need, and that this is the Doge culture. This is a new day in America where we need to hold government employees as accountable as we ourselves are held in the private sector, because they're not held accountable. It's just horrible. As far as the Cincinnati story, and I just wanted you to hear the at least this one guy. I'm going to give him credit. He's answering the question of the 911 call operator, who I think is not well trained, because the first thing she should have said is anybody injured? Did you witness anybody getting injured? And then if he says, yeah, there's a lady on the ground and it looked like she was unconscious. Now somebody's trying to help her up, but she's in rough shape. Then you would have had an eyewitness account of at least the lady being struck. And she is still recovering from head injuries, her entire face, especially the right hand, the right side of her face, her neck, just covered in bruises. And earlier we told you about the fact that they're saying what some of the family members are saying in defense of these individuals, especially the man who delivered that KO, that knockout punch to a woman much smaller than him. They're all saying, well, this is racial. Well, no, it has nothing to do with ethnicity. When you have an unprovoked attack, and I'm specifically going after the single mom, she's been identified as a single mom that Vivek Ramaswamy talked about. No, when you go after a woman who did nothing to you and she's actually just reaching in trying to help somebody who's down on the ground and she's punched in the head, one punch, and she is knocked out and unconscious, you can see blood pouring from her head. Nah, that's aggravated assault. And that's what's happening, by the way. So now that these individuals are charged with felony charges, they now are saying, well, this was racial because some of the individuals being punched and attacked, especially the woman, well, she's a white woman. Has nothing to do with her ethnicity. It has to do with an unprovoked attack against a much smaller woman and a man, very strong man delivering this KO punch to her. That's what it's about. Unbelievable. 855-839-1210. Doesn't fit the narrative. You and I both know if that was a man of any other ethnicity to an African-American woman, I'd be saying the same thing. Of course I would. That's horrifying. We'll take a quick break, get your thoughts, and we'll be right back. So a lot of response about the 911 call there in Cincinnati as a woman recovers from her head injuries. No word if she has a concussion. But we love it when you give us some feedback. 855-839-1210. Christine is in Bucks County. Hey, Christine, happy Friday. Hey, Christine.
Yes, hi.
Hi.
Hello?
Hi, Christine.
Can you hear me? Sorry, Don. I'm in Lafayette Hill, so when you said Bucks County, it threw me off. I apologize.
I'm sorry.
Good morning.
Yes, good morning,
That's
Lafayette
okay.
Hill.
You know, I get in the car and I'm turned on the radio listening to, it's always set to 1210, and I swear I didn't listen to any news. Social media post this morning, so I really don't even know what happened, but all I tuned into was the caller calling 911, and I was appalled at basically this guy's complete inability to describe what it was that he needed.
Yeah,
I mean, are we dumbed down that so much as society that we think we just call 911 and something instantly happens? I mean, I remember being a kid, Don, you and I are about the same age. I'm a kid, you learn in first grade, and what to do in the house when the fire, if you need to leave the house, go to the neighbor's house and dial, the fire department and tell them where your address and what's going on.
Yes.
I mean, this guy couldn't say there's 30 people on the corner of, Broad and Walnut. And, I mean, he wasn't even, guy didn't have a fire under his butt. I don't know. Like if I see a car accident, I'm a little fired up. I'm like, hey, I need, I just witnessed a car accident. That tells 911 immediately you need cops and an ambulance. I mean, are we that pathetic that we can't even call 911 anymore? It's really sad.
It is. Christine, thank you so much. Happy Friday, Christine, my fellow 39-year-old wink wink friend. As we turn to David, our friend David in South Carolina. Hey, David.
Hey, Dawn. How are you doing?
Good. Thanks for calling.
Yeah, I had this issue a couple times down here. And it's more about dispatch in general. And I'll give you a story. One time I called about a person on the side of the road that looked like they sort of needed some help. And this was on a bridge going over one of the canals going outside of Columbia, South Carolina. And so there's no address. It's not like 123 Elm Street. And the lady kept asking for an address. I said, ma'am, I know that's a question you've got to ask. But I'm telling you, there's no address. It's 126 outbound. That's the best I could do.
Mm-hmm.
So the thing is, I think they've got like a script that they've got to go by, and that's what needs to change. And it's not just a problem with, you know, that city or any other city. It sounds like it's national with 911 or any other dispatch.
Yeah.
Is they're given this list of things to ask, and they don't make sense. And, yeah, the caller, he should have been a little more direct, saying, look, ma'am, there's a big fight going on. You need to send police right now. And instead of all this, you know, him hauling around,
yeah,
you know, he could have been better too. But yeah, this is a bigger problem, I think.
Well, David, thank you so much. We always love to hear all your insights. David and Christine, Closer to Home, thank you so much. And you're right. The only thing I will say to all of this is that I do give this gentleman credit for at least he called. At least he was concerned with seeing this very violent, you know, take this attack. And can you believe with that attack at that level where you had two people on the ground and especially that woman and only one person called 911? You have all of these videos going viral, which will become evidence, but only this one gentleman, he's the only person who bothered to even call 911. And it also strikes me the 911 operator's like, well, if they're all leaving, do you really need anybody to show up? You know, we don't have many police. Because, you know, defund the police or something. You know what I mean? That was the sentiment that I felt. And there was not this urgency. So, yeah, but great points by Christine and David. Really appreciate you. I know Jimmy Kelly is busy doing, you know, because he's not only taking your calls and he does call screening, but he creates actually the podcast and all the, you know, all the stuff from Kale and Company that you have online. So all that online content and whatever that he's busy doing. But Jimmy Kelly, you're so thoughtful, and I know you were touched by the fact that you actually worked with Rush. You're one of the people that had the blessing of working with him back in the day before he went to heaven. And Jimmy and our group text during Kale and Company had reminded all of us, to Nick Kale and Greg Stocker and myself and Phil Almquist and Andrew Torres, that today is really a day in history, if you will, in American radio and broadcasting. Jimmy, did you want to share that?
Well, it would help if we turned that microphone up and we look paying attention.
I tried to give you this great intro.
I know. And I had the wrong fader up, sorry. But so today in 1988, August 1st, is when the Rush Limbaugh show went national. Rush had a lot of success at a local station in Sacramento, KFBK, back in 1983 or 84. Things were really starting to take off, and that is the day, August 1st, that he began to syndicate his show to America. Now, I don't know when he ever got to Philadelphia. I know he was on another station here, WWDB, back in the 90s, and in late 2000, he came to this station. And when I began working on day shift, my job was to run the board, not particularly for Rush, but to make sure that the Philly feed was running smoothly because, you know, Rush had a lot of fans in Philadelphia. When we had to preempt him for Philly's baseball, the phones would just ring off the hook of very upset people who were, oh, my God, you're canceling Rush. Is it a liberal conspiracy? No, it's not a liberal conspiracy. We're just going to Philly's baseball. But people really loved to listen to him. And one of my great Rush stories is not so much about meeting Rush, but yeah, that is definitely a great story. But one of the great stories is as I'm standing in line to meet Rush, there is a woman who's taking photos of people who are meeting Rush. And who knew years later that me and this woman would be very good friends? It was Ellen Kolodziej.
Oh, we love Ellen. And she's now on Fox 29.
Yeah, who's now on Fox 29. Mm-hmm. And Ellen was taking these photos of everybody standing in line to see Rush. And a few years later, she came to WPHT. She looks at me and says, I don't know if you remember me, but I was taking photos of Rush with everybody. And I said, yeah, you were the one with those really bright lights. And my eyes kind of went crazy for a few days. And after that, her and I became very close and very good friends. And during the time of running the Rush Limbaugh show, I started to develop an imitation of Rush because he would just come on and say, my friends, I think we're doomed. The Democrats are going to kill us all. You know it as well as I do. And I want you to buy my book. It's called I'm Right, You're Wrong, Deal With It. Because let me explain something to you, my friends. The reason why this is happening is because Bill Clinton, and this is back in the 90s, mm-hmm. Bill Clinton, you know, you couldn't help but hear about Clinton because yes. he was all over the news. My friends, did you hear what Bill Clinton did there? Did you hear what Bill Clinton did there? And don't forget, my friends, today is America Held Hostage Day, number 485 of America Held Hostage.
Thank you, Jimmy Kelly.
Yeah.
I love it. And we love Ellen, too. But thanks for reminding us. August 1st, what, 37 years ago
37
today.
Years ago, yeah.
He, it was the big debut.
And I think that, you know, sadly, when you look at it, I think the station did the right move in not replacing Rush with something that was syndicated. And one of the sad things, though, is I think it took the death of Rush Limbaugh for this radio station to realize, yeah, it's time. We can't run with this. We got to be local. We've got to mm-hmm. really focus on local talk. So.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's why we love that the great Dom Giordano is coming up at noon.
I mean, replacing Rush with Dom was a really great move. I thought it was a great move to replace him with Dom.
Well, not replace.
Well,
you can't say replace.
Well,
they'll be following in his footsteps. But to have it change from a nationally syndicated to Rush Limbaugh to our local, right?
Yeah.
Our local good guy.
I think it was the mindset that really got people to say, hey, it's time to move on. We're not going to make the same mistake that we did when Howard Stern left. It's time to move on. And they did, and the rest is history.
Yes, here we are. We have Dom time now.
Yes.
And right now, it's time to take a quick break. 855-839-1210. Be right back. Yesterday, I had really gone through that news conference, a major, major undercover sting operation in Florida. You heard Sheriff Woods just going off on the media, and they're questions after it was revealed they made all these arrests, which are up to some 48 of these perverts arrested in these sting operations, as they were predators of children, seven of them illegals. And then all the reporters asked was all about what about ICE, what about the due process for those accused, etc. It was unbelievable. I don't know if that has to do with Governor Ron DeSantis today going off about illegals and what's happening in this country. But listen to this rant.
The things that they are passionate about have nothing to do with Americans. They are very passionate about allowing people that have come to this country illegally to remain indefinitely, and even running interference for criminal aliens. And so we have angel moms in Florida. I mentioned the Rep Michaels. These Democrats have never done anything to show any type of sympathy with the victims of illegal immigration. They devote all their energy and attention to protesting people who are trying to solve the issue of illegal immigration. And I've just noticed that. I don't see them fighting for the citizens. I see them fighting for their own ideology. And their ideology is not effective or popular. And we may get a good glimpse of that if this guy gets elected mayor of New York City. I can tell you that. Not going to end up well if that happens. But, man, this is really what they care. They really care about an open border. They really want people to be able to not have consequences for coming into the country illegally. And I just think it's bizarre.
So that's Governor Ron DeSantis. That just happened about 12 minutes ago. Just wanted to give you that info. From the White House, it's official that Trump signing the executive order modifying reciprocal tariff rates, resetting decades of failed trade policies, America First. That's one of the latest from the White House as they push this out on social media, August 1st, Canada front and center. The final thing I wanted to mention to you, because you heard me interview Michael Whatley, and he was at all these great Trump Force 47 meetings leading up to the past great election, right? And we got to know Michael Whatley. Of course, you know Linda Kearns quite well, working on that team for election integrity. So now there will be a new RNC chair teaming up. But Michael Whatley is now, as you know, from North Carolina. And so he's running for Senate in North Carolina. We want to watch that. I saw President Trump sending out a lot of fundraising information and making that big announcement and endorsing, of course, the great Michael Whatley did a terrific job as he was the chief election integrity officer leading that charge. And of course, again, our great Linda Kearns, we can't say enough about her. Dom Giordano, we've been talking about you this morning on an important Rush Limbaugh debut anniversary back in the day, 37 years ago. I know you have a great Dom show ahead.
Well, thank you, Dawn. And we actually had Rush rooms. We went to Seafood Shanties, the name for the past, and listened to Rush Limbaugh while eating flounder. Oh, I'm not making it up.
The stuffed flounder.
The stuff, of
course. Lunchtime, you know.
Of course. Dawn, we have Congressman Perry coming on.
Nice.
And I have a continuation of the story yesterday of Lincoln with Lincoln High School. So many people here illegally, they have a name for these schools that are being inundated in Philadelphia. Got this from a source. We're unveiling. It's hard to believe what they're calling them.
You got to listen to this. The great Dom show just ahead.
Dawn Stensland from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.